Hello everyone and welcome to Celebrating Cinema. I'm your host Elliot. Today we are joined by director and screenwriter Ursula Antoniak, here to discuss her latest film, Splendid Isolation.
Someone died here.
Everyone left the island a long time ago. We're alone, Anna.
She's here.
Nothing will happen to you.
Promise?
Ursula, how are you doing?
Oh, hello. I'm doing fine.
Maybe you can give us a synopsis of your story. I think you're probably better than I am to tell us what it's about and sort of what led you to make it.
If you ask me what is the film about, I would rather say like it's about 73 minutes. It's actually pretty true because in this 73 minutes, my film is designed as an experience rather than telling a story. Of course, it tells a story, but it's primarily designed as a visual, audial experience. The story is an allegorical story. Mm. It's about two lovers, two young women. One is sick, the other one is taking care of her. And they arrive on an island, find a house and start to live there. But the inevitability of death comes close and basically... It's a story about the two lovers who escape the world, but they cannot escape death. So death follows them, and it's this proverbial, the third one on the island.
Before we touch upon you describing it as an experience, mm-hmm. which I do want to get onto, perhaps what made you write this film? Because obviously you wrote it, and I'm referring to there was a certain situation that we mm-hmm. all collectively experienced, and perhaps you could talk a bit about that.
This whole idea of how the kind of a story or the first signal, the start of this whole process was during the lockdown.
Yeah.
And then I remember that I was talking, I think it was an Irish producer who was also in the lockdown. We were all in lockdown, right? And he was telling me about his beautiful house somewhere in Ireland, you know, surrounded by mountains. And I said, like, wow, that's indeed a splendid isolation, right? Because the rest of us are basically in isolation rather than a splendid isolation. I mean, we are not far away from people. I mean, the people are just behind the wall, you know. So this kind of difference or two groups of people that for them, for some people, you know, in our society, to go into isolation is... It's actually kind of a privilege, you know. Mm. The isolation is so splendid that many people would like to live there the whole life. Yeah. You know, like. And another one, it was, I found out already like in the beginning in the pandemic, it was like in March, that, you know, this classic novel of Albert Camus, The Plague.
Yeah.
It started to become very popular. So people started to order this book. And I was thinking to myself, what do people look in this novel, right? It cannot be how to behave during the pandemic, right? Yeah. It's not about this because the novel is allegorical, right? So I was thinking that people are actually being lost in this whole situation, being given over to fear, you know, extreme fear of death. And that they are looking for a novel that brings them some wisdom, you know, about the existential situation that they are in, you know, yeah. not like the manual, what to do, you know, and how to keep distance, but basically something about our human condition in a situation of existential situation of closeness to death. That's what existentialism is about, right?
Yeah.
We are going through life knowing that we are mortal creatures, right? So until now we were watching films like Antonioni, you know, and... about this beautiful people in existential, and we talking about, you know, existential crisis and death and everything, you know, but it's very intellectual, you know, but during the pandemic, death came so close, you know, that it became actually pretty real, you know, it wasn't like ennui or something, some abstract subject conversation, you know, it came pretty close.
I think we kind of want to forget the feelings that the pandemic and being... isolated brought up, And I think what this film does, and as you refer to it being an experience, we're invited to return to these thoughts of how were we spending this time and dealing with ideas of death and losing partners. And I think that's what I really liked. It created that space again for us to take the time and really go through the journey of Anna and Hannah and explore with them those feelings that we've perhaps first explored during the initial beginning of the pandemic, but perhaps have wanted too quickly to forget.
This whole film squares to the situation that one way or another, it's going to happen to everyone.
Yeah.
That we will have to take care of someone, or we will be taken care of by someone, right? So every one of us will one day land in this situation when there are only two roles to play. The one is the caretaker, and the other one is the person who needs to be cared about, right? So, and this is the kind of the very interesting dramatic situation where the roles are being given to two people without asking them.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to be actually in this, in any of this, of these roles, right? So I was thinking about this kind of situation and how taking care of someone in sickness and in dying, how it isolates these two people. It makes them almost like on a lonely island, right? The whole world doesn't exist, right? I think the only thing that relates to the pandemic in my film is the distance that these two women constantly keep. But it's not like this, because at the end of the film, there's a different design behind it, right? There's a different idea behind it, right? Why they are never in the same shot.
Yeah.
But after this, these two initial starting points, you know, like the splendid isolation of some fortunate people in our society and sudden popularity of the classic, the play, I started to think like, okay, so people actually needed some story, some film, but they will always need entertainment as a kind of escapism. It always will be like this. I need it too, you know. Netflix, I'm still watching it constantly, you know. Like, there is a certain, you know, chance almost like in the cinema language to bring something which is called catharsis.
Yeah.
You know, which is, so it's not like solving problem, but bring the audience into the state, they kind of empathize, you know, basically with the human condition.
Yeah, definitely.
The fragility of our human condition.
You're speaking, of course, of how film can be cathartic, invites us to empathize with characters and stories. What do you think then, the fact that we had this collectively shared experience of the pandemic, what sort of added meaning or added value does that then bring to viewing your film? Because I think to watch it now, as opposed to 3-4 years ago, lends itself to a more heightened experience when watching this film.
Now you call it the experience of pandemic. I wouldn't call it the experience of pandemic for me, and for many people it was experience of being close to death, right?
Yeah.
Of the danger of death, which normally is for sick people. You know, now suddenly it became the experience of all of us, you know. We are all scared to death and scared of dying, right? So the isolation, the lockdown, you know, it wasn't even that terrible, you know. But this constant fear of death, you know. And I must say that I always thought that in the times of pandemic, the rule number one is like to contain the fear, to control the panic, you know. I had some strange idea, you know, fear was used, you know, almost like to drive people, you know, it was sustained, let's say, you know, it was an exercise. So I think like this kind of experience, you know, being closer, being uncertain, you know, about the future and coming closer to the realization that we are very fragile creatures, humans, you know, it can go on, you know, in any moment. And this kind of experience, this is actually what became our experience during this last 2 years, you know. And I was thinking, because of this inspiration of the plague, I was thinking to create also allegorical, to make a movie about pandemic, you know, people who cannot meet, who cannot touch, or whatever, some sort of kind of directly related to the situation outside the window. I was thinking about, indeed, through the allegorical story, to exorcise this, what was the essence of the situation, namely fear of death. And I was looking for the right tone, you know, because I knew that these were the times where films like Code Blue, why would you watch this kind of film, you know, who shatters you, you know, with the realization, oh yeah, that we are mortal. You know, so I was looking for a right tone, how to tell a story, and also what I want with this film, you know, what kind of the emotional arc I want to build by the viewer. And I asked myself, like, what kind of feeling it should stay with the viewer after the movie is over, to which feeling I'm kind of leading the viewer. And I found out that it should be something lyrical, you know. It could be a lyrical film that kind of allows you to cry. I came simply, you know, to a realization that the feeling that you get while listening to the Baroque music, you know, like pretty much circling around the subject of death, dying, suffering, mortality, you know. But it was all in a very lyrical way. So it allowed people to come a little bit closer to this terrifying subject.
Yeah, it's very tender and delicate.
It's tender and delicate, you know, about something, you know, which is fear and horror. But this kind of approach, that's what I was looking for. So, of course, for example, in Code Blue, you know, the texture, you know, of sickness, for example, you can present it in such a way that people will run for exit, you know, this kind of realism, yeah. You know. But because it was meant to be an allegorical story, you know, so when you create an allegorical story, of course, you are very close to the way how the poetry works, right? And then it comes interesting, you know, question for me and maybe for the viewers and for you. But I remember after Rotterdam, when the film was unfortunately viewed only digital, right? I got actually a few very good reviews, and the word that was often used, you know, by writing about this film was poetic. So I thought, okay, that's exactly actually how I plan it, right? It's not that it tells the story in a poetic way, but it wants to be a poem.
Yeah, in the sense that it invites you to make your own interpretation or to bring to it what your own personal experience and relation to it, rather than, because with poetry it's very, not always, but it can be very open to interpretation. So in your film, of course, you have this room that's never really revealed what it's there for.
No, I want to actually finish, because everything circles around the question, is my film cryptic or poetic, right? Because the difference between cryptic and poetic, cryptic, maybe even negative connotations, you know, that it's something is, it could be easier, it could be more clear, and is unnecessarily muddled.
Yeah.
Poetic is something that it immediately prepares you that you are going to cinema and you are going to see not the film that which is like obliged to tell you a story, but basically a film that tries to use the filmic language to make kind of visual poem. So it puts you into a situation that pretty comparable to the situation when you start to read a poem, right? Do it once, you know, this kind of exercise, you know, that you start to read a poem and start to time, right? You try to establish how long you were busy reading this poem, you know, and you discover that basically for a poem that it's like a half page, you're actually like, I don't know, a few minutes. Very easy, you know, to read this half page, you know, like the information, you know, but how the poem works, it uses the words who evoke certain feelings or images. Yeah. Then these feelings evoke certain thoughts. You know, the thoughts follow another association. This is how the poem works, you know. So it's very difficult when somebody asks you, what is the poem about? Now, the poem is about how well it works on me, on the reader, you know, how much it evokes in me, how much it allows me to make my own combinations, my own association, you know. And it's not so much about finding what is this poem about, but indeed about this experience.
Yeah.
Right? So basically, when you are going to cinema and when you're like, for example, say like, oh, Splendid Isolation, what this movie is about? And when you read like two women, not much is known about the catastrophe, the two women escape, blah, blah, then this is already kind of misleading, because many people would like expect a science fiction, dystopian film, right? It would be much honest. Or to the point to say that this is poetic film about life and death, love and death, so pretty much about life, right? And it's an allegorical story, you know, and also art that uses visuals and audio design to tell a story, you know, a very simple story.
And when you talk about poetic films, what are sort of some film influences of yours that spring to mind that perhaps you have admired or have sort of stuck with you as you were making this film?
No, definitely classic, you know, like it's Maya Deren.
Yeah.
It's definitely the Meshes in the Afternoon. But David Lynch, this guy, his movies are basically created like poems.
Yeah.
According to me, you know, it's not so much that he's coding some message and we have to uncode it, like this. Yeah. But he creates like a poet. It's also this very famous advice of him, you know, how to write a script, you know. Somebody asked me like, "So, Mr. Lynch, how do you write a script?" Oh, it's very easy. You know, you take 71 pieces of paper, 71, And you write on each of this piece of paper, you write anything what comes to your head, but just anything, you know, like whatever, you know, scene or image or whatever. And once you have the 71 papers, you just throw it on the table, shake it, shake it, shake it. And then you just look from above, you know, what kind of story is all these pieces you have to give you? And then comes to the chair, because then the question is like, but why 71? And he said, like, oh, did I say 71? it could be 20.
You, of course, are also a screenwriter, or you write your own films. And how is that process? So what do you like about doing both at the same time?
I think it's a general misconception that what the director does is films the script. But it's a misconception. It's not what the director does, actually, is like rediscovers or researches his or her own idea over and over again.
Yeah.
So it is writing and then shooting and then editing, of course. And then, of course, sound that can change, like, really literally everything. You know, it can change the texture and the mood and the tone of the film, you know. So this rediscovery that the director does, but it also happens with other people, you know. So all your creative partners kind of see in your idea things that you would never find in it, you know. So it's incredibly exciting, and I know nothing more exciting than basically this kind of creative process, when you discover, dig deeper in your own idea with other people.
Yeah.
You know, it's like playing in a rock band, you know. It's like you play the same song, you know, but everyone is like on the same kind of understanding, but everybody's understanding is different. Very exciting.
And what was it like, because with Splendid Isolation, it was a very small cast, not just cast but crew as well. How was it to work with such a small team and direct Annika Slaughter as well?
It was actually the easiest film set that I had, because it was in one place.
Yeah.
Everything is one... was in like a walking distance. so I had, like, you know, freedom to not so much to shoot the script, you know, because it's not that I don't like to shoot what is in the script, but it's finding out every day, you know, with the crew or with the actress, or like finding out things that are even better than in the script, allowing yourself this kind of freedom, you know. It's close to writing a poem, you know. You react on something and it comes with the idea, and the DOP, there are actresses, but there are also people from the crew, you know, who have ideas, you know, but there's also a changing situation.
So perhaps to wrap up, what's something you want people to just be reminded of as they're watching?
I would like to give people a feeling with this film that, although it's a film about death and dying, that the ending of this film is not so much a happy end, but an uplifting end.
Mm.
So it's an uplifting film about death.
Well, there you have it. Thank you very much, Ursula.
Thank you.
For those that would like to, of course, go see Splendid Isolation, it's in cinemas here in the Netherlands from the 7th of July. And we'd love to know what you think. Please write into us at celebratingcinema@lab111.nl. And otherwise, thank you for listening.